I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. New Year's resolutions. Many of us make them, and for any number of reasons or excuses, we break them. Well, if one of yours for 2019 is to rid your body of nicotine, you're certainly not alone. In fact, tobacco use is the leading preventable cause of death in the U.S. We're talking about kicking the habit and then some on this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Greg recently spoke with Dr. Audrey Darville, a nurse practitioner and a certified tobacco treatment specialist at UK Healthcare.
You know, we traditionally think about tobacco products as smoking, you know, and then certainly extended to smokeless products. But now we have, you know, sort of the new generation of electronic smoking products or vaping devices, as well as hookah, you know, parlors around, you know, the university campus as well. So, yeah, it's pretty broad.
Pretty broad. And I know, you know, I grew up in East Tennessee, and I know similarly in certain rural parts of Kentucky, snuff is a big thing still.
Correct.
Where people will actually insufflate or snort tobacco.
Yes, probably one of the most common smokeless products that we see are the snus pouches or snus. Mm-hmm. You know, people pronounce them different ways. And they're basically a spitless tobacco. It's like a small tea bag, and so they can mm-hmm. be used very discreetly. Mm-hmm. and a lot of times people use them as well as vaping products where they're allowed in places where they can't smoke.
Mm-hmm. And is there a public perception that somehow these products are safer as well as being more clandestine than lighting mm-hmm. up a cigar or a cigarette?
Sure. There is a very strong perception that there is reduced harm from mm-hmm. certain tobacco products. And this has been a debate even in the public health community. Mm-hmm. We know that nothing kills like tobacco, and mm-hmm. that is really based on data from smoking.
Right.
5 to even some studies say that 7 out of 10 people who smoke die of an illness that can be prevented by quitting. So those are terrible odds. Mm-hmm. And so some of these other products have not shown that level of death and destruction associated with them. However, that doesn't mean that they have no risk associated with them. And we do know, for example, smokeless tobacco, for years people thought that it was much less harmful than smoking and related to heart disease. Well, then a study came out, you know, a number of years ago that showed that smokeless tobacco is associated with an increased risk for heart disease, certainly cancer. Mm-hmm. And vaping products are sort of the new kid on the block that we don't really have the long-term data related to health outcomes like we do with both smokeless and conventional smoking.
Well, and that's something I wanted to ask you about, Audrey, because, you know, there's this marketing ploy, I guess is the way you would put it, or propaganda on the part of some of those companies mm-hmm. saying that this is a safer or less harmful alternative. But as you mentioned, it is the new kid on the block. We really don't have any long-term data on what these products are doing, and they seem to still be focusing a lot of this marketing on kids.
Correct. Yeah, that's a big concern right now. And the reason that it's focusing on kids is because we tend to think about tobacco use as a habit. You know, that's what the tobacco industry wants us to think, that it's an adult choice. But in reality, the tobacco industry has been marketing these products to youth since, you know, for years. And the vaping products are simply the newest way that they have found to market nicotine to children, you know, or youth. And so the concern with these vaping products is that youth are becoming addicted to nicotine, and this may then be sort of a gateway to smoking conventional cigarettes or continuing to use these nicotine products maybe years down the road when they are found to have, you know, some deleterious health effects sort of long term. So the bottom line is that this isn't a habit. It's not really a choice as people start using these mm-hmm. tobacco products. It's an addiction to nicotine. And that's what makes it so challenging to quit. It's not that you just have to kind of make up your mind and be motivated and, you know, have a really strong will to quit these products. It's a very serious and very pervasive addiction to nicotine that requires treatment for most people to be successful in getting off these products.
Well, and that segues into something I wanted to ask you about. When that person finally reaches a point where he or she says, I need help. Mm-hmm. What are the frontline things that they can do? Do they go to their primary care health provider? What do they do?
Yeah, we certainly hope they do. Mm-hmm. Because we know that tobacco addiction, nicotine addiction, is a treatable condition. We treat it with nicotine replacement products, which are very safe. We treat them with two other oral medications, bupropion, or it's marketed as Zyban, or varenicline, which is marketed as Chantix. So those are the medications that typically increase the probability that people are going to be able to be successful in their quit significantly. Mm-hmm. We also know that getting some behavioral support with this is important. So things like the telephone quit line can be very helpful. It's free. It's readily accessible. There are also a number of online sites that can be helpful. Smokefree.gov has a text-to-quit program. They have online support. They have apps that are evidence-based. People need to be mindful, though, that the tobacco industry also puts apps, and vaping companies put apps on online, or that, you know, may be downloadable, mm-hmm. that instead of helping people quit, may in fact be encouraging them to switch to what they're saying are these less harmful products. But as we mentioned, you know, we can't necessarily guarantee that these products are less harmful or no harm,
sure.
you know. So there's a variety of different behavioral supports. Some of the local health departments provide classes, freedom from smoking. Mm-hmm. Classes are available typically throughout the state to provide some behavioral support. The Quit Line and the Freedom from Smoking classes often provide some access to nicotine replacement products at either significantly reduced or no charge as well. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of help out there. Certainly approaching, you know, your healthcare provider for help and information is a great place to start. But also some of these other things like the Quit Line mm-hmm. can be easily accessible just by calling the 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Okay. Is there anything we've not covered that you would want our listeners to know about as far as smoking cessation or not starting in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
I guess one question I would have for you is we are a smoke-free campus. And
yes.
In the past, I know we've received gentle reminders from senior leadership at UK that we should tell people, you know, please don't smoke if they light up. And yet you mm-hmm. and I both know that sometimes a smoker who's confronted, even gently in public, might not react in the most positive of ways.
There's a group here on campus called the Tobacco-Free Ambassadors, or Tobacco-Free Take Action Ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And you can look on the website, the uky.edu/tobacco-free, all one word, and for information about how to report violations. So if you're not comfortable approaching someone yourself, there is a mechanism mm-hmm. to report, you know, where people are maybe violating. We do know that there are certain hot spots around campus
where
people congregate. So it's important that the ambassadors and that the administration have some idea where these hot spots are so that they can develop a plan and a strategy to address those. The thing that I have found, you know, I approach people pretty often, and I have found for the most part, if you use the proper tone mm-hmm. and sort of there's some scripting available, you know, that's on the website, just asking people to please respect, you know, that this is a tobacco-free campus, can you please respect our policy? Mm-hmm. Most people are very agreeable to and not really overly defensive or
sure.
hostile about it. I think that this ties into the fact that tobacco-free is becoming more the norm in our culture, mm-hmm. and it takes time. You know, this tobacco use has been pretty prevalent here in Kentucky for a long time. I remember moving here and people smoking in the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah.
Really surprised me because I came from an area that were tobacco-free, you know, grocery stores had been a thing for a long time. But slowly we've seen the culture changing, and that's one of the things that we're looking toward here on campus, that the culture keeps shifting so that people are supported by in not smoking, and that smoking sort of becomes the hard choice.
Sure, as opposed to the other way around back in the old days. Well, Dr. Audrey Darville, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I do have one other thing that I do want to add,
Yes, please.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think that it's a common perception that people have that they should be able to just quit. And I think it's important for people to realize that only 5 out of 100 people who try to quit on their own succeed. So if you're trying to quit tobacco products in any form, ask for help.
Because
any amount of help will significantly increase the chances that you'll be successful.
Well, and you know, I think of that old, I forget if it's a Japanese aphorism, and I'm probably butchering the interpretation, but it's something like 8 times fall down, 9 times get up. That even if you don't succeed the first or second time, there is still help out there. And we all know patients and friends and colleagues who maybe the third or the fifth time was the charm, but just to never give up.
Sure, and that's the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, people probably heard that. You know, it's kind of, it's normal for people to try to quit 7 to 10 times. Some studies even say 20 to 100 almost. Mm-hmm. Times before they finally are successful. We do know that the more a person is trying to quit, the more likely they are to be successful. So the more quit attempts you have, even practice quit days. We just had the Great American Smokeout.
Yes.
So it matters. If you quit for that day, it's helpful. So we know that these practice quits eventually help people to master the skills that they need and to be able to overcome the addiction to the nicotine so that they can stay quit long term.
My thanks today to Audrey Darville, nurse practitioner at UK Healthcare and certified tobacco treatment specialist, for talking with me about the health tolls of tobacco and what we can do about it. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.